This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, we're here to share with you some answers to questions that you send to us. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. We call this weekly session Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions. So we've gotten quite a lot of questions, so thank you for your response, listeners, because we've got a lot of grist for the mill for today's discussion. So with me is Layla Mudin. She's our nutritionist in residence. We work together on a daily basis. She also has a private practice here in Manhattan and sees patients in conjunction with me, but also independently. How you doing, Layla?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Terrific.
And, getting a little, some tantalizing glimpses of spring.
Yes.
It's kind of like they give us a couple of days and snatch it back.
I know. It's March.
Right. We're starting to, get a little intimation that winter is waning.
Yeah.
And
you know what I really like? We just got back from, it's here in New York, the Integrative Healthcare Symposium.
Yes, yes.
IHS, which happens normally every February here.
Right.
At the Midtown Hilton in New York City.
Right.
And I remember always having to go there in my snow boots and galoshes, and this time I didn't have to.
Yeah.
And that was such a treat.
Yeah.
Not having to wear mukluks.
Right. Yeah. It's
to the conference.
Apparently one of the warmer Februaries we've had here in the Northeast, making up for the really frozen Arctic December, January that we had.
Yeah.
So it all evens out. All right. So, let's, for a moment, let's talk a little bit about our experiences there at the Integrative Healthcare Symposium,
yes.
IHS, which is in our hometown of New York City. So very easy. I can just walk to it from my apartment on the east side to 6th Avenue, where it's held. And it's an opportunity to, I go there for several reasons. One is to just meet the people who are in this field. They come from all over the country and people I haven't seen for a long time. Some of my New York colleagues who I don't even socialize with, I see them more at conferences than socially. Also to see some of the booths of vendors who have innovative products, but also to hear some of the great lectures. So what were some of the highlights for you?
Oh, well, starting with Dr. Pizzorno's lecture, and that was the first one, I think, on Thursday morning, where the future of everything that could be chronically wrong with us health-wise, maybe due more to toxins than anything.
Yeah, he did. By the way, he will be a guest on the program in April.
Oh,
I've just
in fact,
today I finalized arrangements for him to join us and talk about his book on environmental toxicity, which is just out in February. And he is actually one of the quote fathers of integrative medicine in the sense that he is a co-founder of the first very rigorous scientifically oriented naturopathic college.
Yeah, Bastyr.
Bastyr University in Seattle, which is renowned internationally for its high scientific standards and it's turning out, really gifted naturopaths. He's a really important person. So, what he has done is something very interesting. He's got a bunch of students together, and he ran enormous numbers of statistics looking at the relationship between various environmental toxins and diseases.
Yeah.
And he came up with some surprising conclusions that things like arsenic and lead and cadmium and PCBs and DDT residues in the environment have a very, very profound impact on many diseases that we're seeing.
And even things like DDT, which was discontinued, I think it's still pervasive in the environment, and it's in our cells and tissues and mother's placentas and all of those places. So it's still apparent. And this is going to come more and more to the forefront. And it's not just doing, it's not just about doing a simple detox, but really looking for where this is coming from. Arsenic, for example. Those of you who are big chicken and rice eaters, tons of arsenic
chicken and rice. Yeah.
Because it's in the rice, primarily in the brown rice, even more than the white rice, unfortunately. And in chicken, because it's in the feed as a bactericide.
Yeah. And so we're going to hear more from Dr. Pizzorno on his book. We also, there are a couple of big themes of the conference. You know, every year it's like, you know, what's the nutrient du jour? You know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was coenzyme Q10. You know, it was like it was revolutionary. Now, I think the big themes were CBD, cannabidiol, which is a non-stoner extract of hemp, and hence legal because it's not marijuana.
It's hemp. It's not
a cannabinoid.
Right.
And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about it because I think we have some questions about CBD in the, in our lineup today of questions. So we heard a fabulous lecture from Carl Germano, who will also be a guest. I mean, again, part of the reason I go to these conferences is I find a ton of speakers
for,
and people who will be of general interest to the public. So Carl's going to talk about CBD. We also have Dr. Philip Blair coming on this month in March to talk about the benefits of cannabinoids. He's also an expert on that subject. And the other thing that was, I think, pretty important in terms of products, new products, is a ketogenic diet support. You know, so ketogenic diet is very hard. Maybe you can speak to that in terms of some of the products that are out there.
There are products out there that are meant to put you into ketosis, whether these are ketogenic salts or esters or certain protein powders which contain some MCT oil. The ketogenic diet, and, you know, I've been talking about the ketogenic diet since
for
Dr.
Diabetes,
for weight loss, epilepsy, dementia.
Neurodegenerative disorders.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, it's just all across. So seeing some of these innovative products as we have at the exhibit hall, very, very promising.
So would you welcome patients who want to undertake a ketogenic diet? Because I think it's not the kind of diet you can DIY.
No, it's a little tougher than that. And it's not just your standard very low carb diet, which would be anywhere from 50 grams of carbs a day or less.
So it's kind of beyond
ketogenic,
Atkins.
I mean,
you were at Atkins, but this is like, this would even be...
Right. This would be what he used to call the fat fast.
Oh, okay.
The Keckwick Pawan diet, which was almost a diet of sour cream and bacon and too much mayonnaise in your tuna salad kind of diet. So
less
ketogenic
protein,
diet,
more fat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very, very high in fat. 75 to 80% fat.
Wow.
Maybe 10 to 15%
protein. Why
do you
call the Pawan?
I think the those were the scientists that developed the fat fast.
I see.
Keckwick and Pawan.
Oh, okay.
And Pavan. It might be Pavan. Anyway, so ketogenic diet is really less than 20 grams of carbs a day. So it's not even just at the standard 20, but even less than that, going down to 13, maybe going down to 11. And there are some very finessed ways of doing that without saying, oh my God, what do I eat? Except this baby back rib without barbecue sauce or something like that.
But and then are there diet aids and formulas that people can take?
Sure. Yeah. There are formulas
that are
on the market.
Yeah.
A shake, which can
drinks.
Be pretty easy to do.
I tried a couple of those drinks because they sampled. They didn't taste bad. I thought they would taste worse.
Right. And I hear the chocolate is the best one. I got to try the vanilla.
Camouflaging the flavor is an issue because some of these
tastes like
salts,
acetone.
Some of these salts actually
they don't taste good.
They taste
like fuel.
But I did notice that when I took one, you know, I was really busy that day and I had a big dinner coming up at the end. So I said, I'm going to power through this. I'm going to have breakfast. I had breakfast early and then I went, you know, all I had was like a small ketogenic drink, keto salt drink at one of the booths. I think it was Metagenics makes them.
Yeah.
And it really took care of me until dinner. And then I was appropriately hungry for dinner. You know, I ate a big dinner afterwards.
There's even a specific formula for people who are athletes who the endurance athletes who are into a ketogenic diet want to stay in ketosis during their their particular event or race or something.
Did several companies make this, or was there one company that
There was one company in particular, and it was Metagenics. And I met with the rep actually this morning, and that was a
And are those products available in full script now?
I've got to go take a look
I
there
think
and make
are.
Sure.
They are say they are.
I need to make sure they're loaded
check.
On there.
I can check, yeah.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure that if we prescribe them, they can be obtained online.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So there's
we
these
can check that.
Ketogenic shakes. There's a product with MCT. There's also powdered MCT oil. A lot of people complain that I can't carry this MCT oil, this bottle with me when I'm traveling or to work. It's not fitting in my purse. It's an oil. It can spill. Metagenics now has a powdered form of MCT oil that you just mix in some water and you take it. Again, these are pleasant tasting. There isn't anything here that's going to taste like acetone or fuel. Of the many complaints I've read online about these particular ketogenic products is that they taste terrible.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, after you've taken it once or twice, I don't care how dedicated you are, soon enough you're going to say, I can't take this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
It's too unpalatable. And so is there anything else? These are flavored, and they're flavored in the right way with a little bit of stevia. And of course, naturally, they're very low in carbohydrate, the net carbs especially, maybe 2 or even just 3 grams.
Was there anything on nicotinamide riboside?
Oh,
yeah.
Dr. Bland, Jeffrey Bland.
Who really can He is the godfather of,
integrative and functional medicine, yes. And he talked a lot about niacin. My ears really perked up when he talked about niacin, not just for energy in the way that we've been using it in our practice for fatigue and so forth, but for DNA repair.
Yes.
There's some good scientific research. He was saying that niacin may be what's needed for DNA repair. We're talking about cancer prevention. We're talking about anti-aging. So it's not just a matter of, oh, do you suffer from fatigue? You're doing everything right. Maybe you just need a little more nicotinamide riboside. But now it's for prevention of cancer, anti-aging, and all of that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like more people should be taking this product.
Of course, Dr. Perlmutter was there, and I know you had to go home early that day, but I stayed for that lecture as the final lecture.
Yeah.
And it was excellent. He is, first of all, he's one of the funniest guys on the
That's true.
On the podium. He really gets the audience in stitches. And he has such a great way of presenting information, specifically about how to preserve the brain, you know, to keep the brain from deteriorating in terms of neurodegenerative disorders. And he showed fantastic statistics about how exercise is beneficial, how diet is beneficial, and, you know, along those lines.
And that cholesterol is a good guy.
Yeah. We've invited him back to talk to our audience on intelligent medicine. He's always a great guest.
Wonderful.
So that'll be good. You know, so I think those
It's a great conference. I come out of that conference every year rejuvenated.
Yeah.
And just kind of pumped up that here are all these like-minded practitioners like us. And I love just breathing the same air with them and hanging with them. And
very bad air, I might say.
Yeah, it's hotel.
It's
conference rooms.
Yeah, conference room.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's not spend the entire time talking about it. For health practitioners, I recommend it. It's really, the conference has really grown. For a while there, about 10, 12 years ago, I wasn't sure if it was going to make it. You know, it was like very small, and you know, the vendors would all show up, and there weren't enough people to make it worth their while.
Mm.
But now it's a great forum for people trying to promote products. So there are more exhibitors, and
and 2 floors of exhibits.
And lots of great lectures. Also, Dr. David Brady, who's been a guest on the show, talking about autoimmunity, and he did a really nice job
on
that subject. Yeah.
Talking about the microbiome and microbiota, which is the subset of microbiome, which includes all the genes and so forth and so on, and the importance of diet in that as well. And no, it was all just fascinating. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Great. Great.
So
you know, we I mean, this is part of the exciting part of this is that we continue learning.
Yes,
you know,
lifelong.
It's a lifelong learning process.
And there's always something new and something exciting, and Yeah.
Good. All right. So let's tackle some questions.
Yeah. Actually, first, Dr. Hoffman, we've got a comment. Lori wrote in after reading your article from the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, the flu shot. Does it really work? Or should you get it either way? And she wrote, "Hi there, Dr. Hoffman. Would you please use the term ex-vaxxer instead of anti-vaxxer? There is a reason that people stop vaccinating." Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you for that clarification. I guess that article has generated a lot of feedback, mostly good. In fact, I can't, you know, it's a controversial notion that the vaccine is not what it's cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. But mostly we haven't received a lot of negative pushback because, you know, how can you argue against the truth?
Yeah.
What I would say to that is that many people, I think, are keeping their powder dry on the vaccine. If there's a perfect vaccine that comes along and it's safe, I don't think they're unreasonable people.
They would take it.
I mean, I was happy to get the polio vaccine, the smallpox vaccine. You know, I want to do my part to eradicate those diseases, and I don't want to get them. But that's not really working out for the flu.
Right, right. Thank you, Lori, for that comment. Okay. X-Vaxxer.
X-Vaxxer.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
We have an email from David. "Dear Dr. Hoffman, would you have any experience in treating Shwachman-Diamond syndrome? I recently met a young lady."
Yes, I happen to be the world's expert in the treatment of the Shwachman-Diamond syndrome. In fact, it used to be called the Shwachman-Diamond-Hoffman syndrome.
Oh.
But they said that it was too long.
Oh,
so they
goodness.
Just shortened it to... No. First of all, I'm not going to kid you that...
That was a good accent.
We had to look this up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say in medical school, you know, you don't have to learn everything, but you have to know how to look everything up.
Yeah.
And so, first of all, when I hear about these genetic things, this is a genetic disorder. Many genetic disorders, there is not anything you can do about them.
Not
because we can't change the genes.
Yeah.
But there are many genetic disorders that have a nutritional component, such as phenylketonuria, PKU.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is there a nutritional component to Shwachman-Diamond syndrome? First of all, what is it? You can take us through.
Oh, well, actually, yes. It's a rare congenital disorder characterized by exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, bone marrow dysfunction, skeletal abnormalities, and short stature.
Okay, so the key here, and by the way, they're running a radio campaign. I haven't seen it on TV yet. There's a media campaign on EPI, exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. And I think it's being run by companies that, pharmaceutical companies that make pancreatic enzymes. And, you know, we've known this for a long time in integrated medicine that some people don't digest well. They need pancreatic enzymes because their secretion of the, you know, amylase and protease and lipase and some of these, certain lactose is a form, lactose intolerance is a form of,
enzyme.
That's a lack of an enzyme. That's an intestinal thing. It's not a pancreatic thing. But anyway, so some people need help in digesting food.
Yes.
So I think the nutritional component here, although I'm unfamiliar with the disorder, and I'd have to maybe learn more about the nutritional underpinnings of this.
Yeah.
We can't fix it, but we have to ameliorate the digestive insufficiency. So we give pancreatic enzymes in these cases. Mm-hmm. And we would also probably survey very carefully for nutritional deficiencies because there's some kind of growth inhibition in these people. Maybe they're not absorbing nutrients properly.
Yeah, you know. Growth retardation in terms of stature.
Yeah.
And apparently after cystic fibrosis, it's the second most common cause of exocrine pancreatic insufficiency.
Well, that should tell you. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be making fun of this. That this is because it's second only to a fairly common disorder, well-known disorder, cystic fibrosis, that, it should be more on the map.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure that's something that would be diagnosed really early in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Signs and symptoms. Yeah.
You know, so in other words, lest some person say, oh, I think I might have this. You know, it's going to smack you in the face early in life. It's not going to be like something that takes many years to diagnose.
It can be difficult to diagnose because initially it can present as something similar to cystic fibrosis, according to what I'm reading.
But you know something's wrong.
You know something's wrong.
Okay.
Exactly. So it requires more examination. So, but no, is there a nutritional treatment for this disorder?
Is there nutritional support for this?
Yes.
I think of the
yeah.
question is that yeah. there may be, you know, like perhaps, you know, there are certain forms of, for example, fat-soluble nutrients that are more absorbable. They're more expensive.
Yeah.
But emulsified vitamin A, emulsified D, emulsified fish oil that is a little more easily absorbed mm-hmm. without the presence of pancreatic enzymes.
Yeah.
Those might be in order here, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. David, thank you very much for your question. Ah, we've got one here from Rachel. I have so many vitamins, the basics plus the extras. What is a good system to get them all in without being overwhelmed? I usually rotate around, but is it better to take some for 6 weeks for proper assimilation and then go on to a different one? There are too many to take daily if I want to live until 120.
Well, I mean, this is kind of a big philosophical question, is how
yeah.
proactive do you get? I mean, I think you have to prioritize, you know, just like, you know, there are many aspects of life where there are endless possibilities, like our wardrobes, you know, one of the nice things about living in a New York City apartment is you have to really prioritize about your wardrobe. And similarly, your stomach does that too
yeah.
for you too, is that, you know, while there may be, you know, 100 supplements that you think are plausible, there's a limited capacity to take them.
Right.
Plus, there's also another thing that limits us is our wallets.
Oh, sure.
You know, and you have to prioritize what, you know, makes sense to take unless you're, a zillionaire. So, you know, is it appropriate to rotate? I don't think so. I mean, I think that you should decide on something to take and then just take it.
And take it. You're not going to assimilate something differently by
We've
moving on.
We've answered this question before. Some people say, should you rotate your supplements because eventually you'll get used to them? Then you have to, you know.
No, you're still going to absorb those nutrients, provided your gut is in working order.
Right.
And there aren't any malabsorption issues or other digestive issues. But I think one of the best things to do, and this is what would happen during a consult, is somebody could take a good look at Rachel and streamline everything she's taking.
A shave and a haircut.
That bump. Yeah. So it's basically, what are your particular objectives, number one? What are your particular issues, medical conditions, symptoms, number two? And then three, what are your concerns going forward? Is it anti-aging? Beyond all that.
And prioritize.
Prioritize all of these. You want to get the best quality supplements, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That should go without saying. So, yeah. And yes, Rachel, we want you to live to 120. And
so in terms of speaking to other issues, you know, getting organized is that I find that one obstacle to taking a lot of things is to have to make them every day. So we make our supplements, pick a day, you know, like your day, making your week supplements.
Right.
You make them for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Get little containers that we have some that are our own containers here.
Mm-hmm.
Do
it while you're watching
patients.
The news on Sunday.
Right.
Do them up for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them into your purse or briefcase as you're walking out the door.
Right.
For your breakfast and your lunch.
So that you don't have to physically put them together all the time.
Yeah. So,
and, you know, I think another obstacle is like when you run out, but I might put in a plug for Fullscript here. Fullscript is our online dispensary. And if you want, they'll send you an alert when, you know, it appears that your supplements are running out.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on automatic reorder. I personally don't like automatic reorder because I like to have the, you know, option of not ordering.
Right.
You know, and
say, I don't need this one anymore.
Right.
Or
yeah,
something.
Or, you know, just it's annoying when things keep arriving.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll do that for you. But you can also get an alert saying it appears that your 60-day supply of such and such is running low. You're ready to reorder now. They can do that. That's the advantage of an online dispensary that, you know, rather than I'm not going to look at everybody's, I have hundreds of patients. Would I look at every patient and say, oh, I think you're ready to run out. I'm going to call you and say,
oof.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
I'd make you do that.
Oh, gosh.
In your spare time.
In my spare time.
Right.
Sunday.
Yeah. Sundays you can come in and look at the charts. So we might also mention before we conclude this half of our podcast because we divide the podcast in two parts. Fullscript's running a big sale this month, 10% off. We're cooperating with Fullscript and putting that together for our listeners so that to introduce more listeners to Fullscript and its convenience. And also they have free shipping on all orders this month. Usually there's a charge for shipping, and it's going to be a really, hopefully, a fast and efficient free shipping that will make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all the time we have for part one of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. What's coming up in part two? What questions are we going to answer there?
Oh, Dr. Hoffman, where do you get your grass-fed beef?
Okay. Layla, you're a user of that too, so yep. You can provide us with some answers. Yep. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman today with Layla Mutin. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, our Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We'll be right back.